If you want to open up to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, that's where we'll be this evening. Second Chronicles chapter 14. Tonight we're going to talk about a man, a servant, a king by the name of Asa. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we will soon learn that Asa suddenly finds himself standing face to face with 1 million men. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days the land had rest for 10 years. And Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He took away the foreign altars and the high places, and broke down the pillars and cut down the Asherim. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to keep the law and the commandment. He also took out of all of the cities of Judah the high places and the incense altars, and the kingdom had rest under him. Here we see that Asa was an exceptional figure. Asa was a faithful man. He was a godly man. Asa was a man who sought the Lord. He was a man who feared the Lord. He honored God and he obeyed God. Asa also encouraged the nation around him to seek the Lord. He encouraged his people to obey the law and to obey the commandments of the Lord. Asa rid the kingdom of all of its idolatry. He got rid of the high places. He got rid of all of the incense. Asa sought to do good in the land. Asa was a godly king who also encouraged his people to be godly. Because Asa was a godly man, the Lord blessed Asa and the people with 10 years of peace and prosperity. The land had rest. The text says in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 in the latter half of verse number 1, that Asa reigned, and in his days the land had rest for 10 years. The text says in the latter half of verse number 5 that the kingdom had rest under him. In verse 6, the passage continues to say that Asa built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, for the Lord gave him peace. Oh, how I would have loved to have lived during the days of Asa. Oh, how sweet it would be to live during a time when there was no fussing, there was no fighting, there was no bickering, there was no arguing, there were no feuds, there was no war. Everything was peaceful. Everything was tranquil during the days of Asa. Asa was a godly king. Asa encouraged his people to be godly. The land had rest during the days of Asa. And Asa also had a very strong army. He had a strong and capable army. The text says in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse number 8, that Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who were armed with large shields and spears. How safe he must have felt. How safe the people must have felt. 300,000 men from Judah, all armed, all ready to fight, all capable of fighting. But not only were there 300,000 from Judah, there were 280,000 from the tribe of Benjamin. The text says that there were 280,000 men from Benjamin that carried shields and drew bows, all of these were mighty men of valor. These weren't simply soldiers. These were mighty men of valor. These men were capable. These men were ready. These men were armed and they were dangerous. This was a wonderful time to be alive. A time when the king sought the Lord. A time when the king served God. A time when the king rid the entire kingdom of all of the idolatry, of all wickedness. A time when the king encouraged his kingdom to seek the Lord and to serve the Lord and to do good. This was a time of peace. This was a time of prosperity. And God's people were well protected. Things were great during the days of Asa. Everything was good. Everything was peaceful. Everything was tranquil until tragedy struck. Tragedy strikes in verse number 9. The text says in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 in verse number 9 that Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men. Could you imagine? Could you imagine how Asa must have felt? Could you imagine how his roughly 600,000 soldiers must have felt? For 10 whole years, everything is good. For 10 whole years, the nation has peace. For 10 whole years, they did not have a problem. And then suddenly, tragedy strikes. Suddenly, they find themselves outmanned and outnumbered. Asa and his men have 600,000, but you have the Ethiopians here of 1,000,000. What does Asa do? How does he react? How does he respond when he suddenly finds himself standing face to face with 1,000,000 men? Asa prays to the Lord. He prays in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse number 10. The text says that Asa went out to meet him and they drew up their lines of battle in the valley of Zarephath at Marishah. And Asa cried to the Lord his God, O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you and in your name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you. When Asa suddenly found himself standing face to face with 1,000,000 men, he doesn't run, he doesn't hide, he doesn't retreat, he doesn't try to fight the people on his own. He seeks the Lord. He prays to the Lord. He cries out to God. He pours out his heart to He who is in control of all. And there are so many phenomenal lessons that we can learn today from Asa's prayer. From Asa's prayer, we see that Asa was a man who had faith and confidence in God. He goes to battle without hesitation. He goes to battle without fear because he trusted in God. The text says that Asa went out to meet him. He went out to meet Zerah and the Ethiopians, and he cried to the Lord his God. He cried to the Lord because he recognized and he appreciated that God, Yahweh, hears his cries, and God, Yahweh, will answer his cries. Asa was a man who had faith and confidence in God, and Asa was a man who acknowledged his need for God. Yes, he was a faithful man. Yes, he was a capable leader. Yes, he was a well-respected leader. Yes, he could have probably done some damage, but Asa didn't rely on himself. He didn't trust in himself. He recognized that he needed the Lord. The text says that Asa cries out in verse 11, between the mighty and the weak, help us, for we rely on you. He didn't rely on himself. He didn't rely on his 600,000 soldiers. He didn't rely on his bows or his shields. He didn't rely on anything that he had. He relied on the Creator. Asa was also a man who remembered who the battle belonged to. He recognized that this wasn't a battle between Asa and the Egyptians, or excuse me, the Ethiopians. He recognized that this wasn't a battle between Israel and the Ethiopians. He recognized that this was a battle between good and evil. This was a battle between righteousness and unrighteousness. This was a battle between God and the Ethiopians. Asa recognized that the battle belonged to the Lord. In the latter half of verse number 11, the text says that Asa cried to the Lord his God, "O Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we come against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Let not man prevail against you." We come out in your name. Let not man prevail against you. This isn't about me. This isn't about Israel. This isn't about my 600 soldiers. This is all about you. It is you who we are fighting for. In verse 12, the text continues to say that the Lord, it was the Lord that defeated the Ethiopians. It was not Asa who defeated the Ethiopians. It was not the men from the tribe of Judah who defeated the Ethiopians. It wasn't the men from the tribe of Benjamin who defeated the Ethiopians. It wasn't the shields. It wasn't the bows. It wasn't the chariots. It was God. And Asa recognized that the battle belonged to the Lord. Verse 12, "So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar, and the Ethiopians fell until none remained alive, for they were broken before the Lord and his army." It was God's army. Yes, Asa was the king of Israel, but it wasn't his army. It was God's. Why? Because the battle belonged to the Lord. Asa remembered who the battle belonged to. But Asa also did his part. He did his part. Yes, he trusted in God. Yes, he had faith in God. Yes, he had confidence in God. Yes, he prayed to God. But Asa recognized that simply praying to God isn't going to make a whole difference. You have to pray to God, and then you have to act. Asa recognized that there were some things that he had to do. God provided the tools. God provided the resources. God provided what he and his men needed to defeat the Ethiopians. But they had to embrace what God had provided. And we see that again in verse 12 through the remainder of the chapter. The text says, "So," verse 12, "the Lord defeated the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar." Asa and his people pursued. That is an active word. They pursued them as far as Gerar, and the Ethiopians fell until none remained alive, for they were broken before the Lord and his army. The men of Judah carried away very much spoil. So they pursued these men. They carried away the spoil. Verse 14, "They attacked all of the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord was upon them. They plundered all of the cities, for there was much plunder in them. And they struck down the tents of those who had livestock and carried away sheep in abundance and camels, and they returned to Jerusalem." You see, the people didn't just sit back and chill. They didn't just sit back and pretend as if there was nothing that they had to do. They recognized that they had a part in this battle. Yes, the battle belonged to the Lord, but they had things that they had to do. When Asa found himself standing face to face with a million men, he had faith and confidence in God. He recognized his abundant need for the Lord. He saw that the battle belonged to the Lord. He did his part. And ultimately, Asa's prayers were heard because he lived faithfully. Asa was a faithful man. He was a godly man. He encouraged the nation to be faithful. He encouraged the nation to be godly. He encouraged everyone to pursue the Lord. That is why there was peace for 10 whole years, because the people obeyed and followed and trusted God. And because they lived this way, when Asa had a problem, when he was standing face to face with his enemy, he cries out to the Lord. God hears him and God delivers him, because God answers and hears and responds to the prayers of the righteous. This evening, as we consider Asa, as we consider the example that Asa left, we must also recognize that, like Asa, one day we will feel as though we are standing face to face with 1 million men. Things may be going very well for you in your life right now. You may be happy. Your wife may be happy. Your husband may be happy. The children may be doing well. You may have plenty of food in the refrigerator, and you may have a job to go to in the morning. And I'm so glad that is the case. But there may come a day. There may come a day when you are not so happy. You are sick. There may come a day when your spouse is not so happy. They want a divorce. There may come a day when your child is not doing so well. He has fallen away from the Lord. There may come a day when you don't have food in the refrigerator, and there may come a day when you don't have a paycheck. This may happen suddenly. When it suddenly happens, the question that I have for you this evening is, how are you going to respond? How are you going to react when it seems as if the weight of the world is closing in on you? How are you going to respond when it suddenly seems as though you are standing face to face with 1 million men? Like Asa, we must pray to the Lord. We must pour out our hearts to God. We must seek the Lord, and we must have faith and confidence in God. Asa had faith and confidence in God, and we must rely on God. We must realize that God hears our prayers, He can respond to our prayers, and He will answer our prayers if we are faithful. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus and His disciples walk beside a fig tree. Jesus curses the fig tree. Jesus' disciples are perplexed by this. Lord, how in the world were you able to curse that fig tree? Jesus says, you can do it too. But you can do greater things. You can uproot this mountain if you have faith. Whatever you ask in prayer, Jesus says, you will receive if you ask it in faith. In James chapter 5, as James is speaking of the power of prayer, he says the prayer of faith saves the one who is sick. May we recognize this. May we appreciate this. May we have the same attitude that the Apostle Paul had in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we truly believe that, there is no limit to what we can do in this life, and there is no limit to what we are able to overcome in this life when we suddenly find ourselves standing face to face with 1 million men. We must have faith and confidence in God, and we must also acknowledge our need for God. Asa acknowledged his need for God. He recognized that just because he was the king, just because he was an influential king, just because he was a faithful king, just because his land had peace for 10 whole years, Asa recognized that none of this mattered in that moment. Asa recognized that he desperately needed the Lord. He said, Lord, we rely on you. This should be our attitude. Our confidence should not come in how much knowledge we have. Our confidence should not come from how much wealth we have. Our confidence should not come from how faithful we have been. Take heed, lest you fall. Our confidence must come from God and in God alone. Have the attitude of the psalmist in Psalm 40 and verse 17. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help, and you are my deliverer. I am not as great as I think I am. I am not as wealthy as I think I am. I am not as smart as I think I am. I am not as faithful as I think I am. I am not as secure as I think I am. All of my wealth, all of my wisdom, all of my faith, all of my prosperity, all of my protection comes from God. And it is only when I recognize that and when I appreciate that I will be able to overcome the obstacles that come about in my life. It is only when I recognize that, and it is only when I appreciate that, that I will be able to stand against the million men that come in my direction. We must acknowledge our desperate need for the Lord, and we must also remember who the battle belongs to. Asa remembered that this battle wasn't against him and the Ethiopians. It wasn't against Israel and the Ethiopians. It was really against God and the Ethiopians. When you have that tragedy in your life, when tragedy strikes, it's not Tim and cancer. It's not Tim and the loss of a friend. It's not Tim and the loss of a job. It's God and cancer. It's God and the loss of a friend. It's God and the loss of a job. It's God who's fighting our battles. When we trust in God, when we recognize that He is in control, when we recognize that He is powerful and He is capable of overcoming any challenge or tragedy in your life, that is when we will be able to endure those tragedies and those challenges that suddenly come into our life that feel as though we are face to face with a million men. The psalmist said in Psalm 20 and verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your wisdom. Don't trust in your wealth. Don't trust in your security. Trust in God. Remember who the battle belongs to. And we must also do our part. Asa did his part. Yes, he was a faithful man who prayed to the Lord, but he and his men also pursued the enemy. He and his men attacked the enemy. He and his men plundered the enemy's goods. He and his men did their part. May we do our part. It does us absolutely no good to pray and ask the Lord to help us be a better Bible class teacher if we never study our Bible. It does us absolutely no good to pray and ask the Lord to help us be a better parent if we never spend time with our children. It does a young man absolutely no good to pray for a wife if he never asks a girl on a date. You have to do your part. That's the point. When we pray and ask the Lord for deliverance, there are some things that we have to do. Faith without works is dead, as James so clearly writes in James chapter 2. This morning we talked about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. If we put on the whole armor of God, we'll be able to fight off the wiles of the devil. God has provided the armor. God has provided the protection. He has provided the defense, but we must put it on. We must do some things. If we hope to make it out alive, if we hope to overcome the challenges and the obstacles and the setbacks that suddenly come in our lives that make it feel as though we are standing face to face with a million men, then we must do our part. And fifth and finally, we must live faithfully. Asa was a faithful man who encouraged his nation to be faithful. We must be faithful men and women, and we must encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ to be faithful. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, James says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man has great power and is working." The righteous man, not the faithless man, not the sinful man, not the man who has one foot in the church building, one foot in the world. No, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man has great power and is working. The psalmist says in Psalm 66 and verse number 18, "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." If I had have cherished iniquity, if I had have loved iniquity, if I had have lived a life that was sinful, if this is what is in my heart, God is not going to listen to my prayers, the psalmist says. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29, the Bible says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous." Proverbs 28 and verse 9, "If one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And finally, in Psalm 37 and verse number 25, King David says, I have been young and now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. God loves, he cares for, and he adores those who are faithful to him. Yes. Yes, faithful men and faithful women will experience tragedy in their lives at some point. Yes, faithful men and women will experience tragedy to profound degrees at some point. But if you are a faithful steward of God, if you trust in the Lord, if you obey the Lord, if you remain faithful to him through the trials, through the tribulations, he will see you through. If you're here tonight and you are not a Christian, I invite you to respond to the gospel message. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He suffered, he died, and he rose so that you would have life. If you truly believe that and you want to be a part of the family of God, then you're going to repent of your sins. You're going to have your sins washed away in baptism, fully immersed in water, rising forth, walking, living every single day, striving to serve the Lord, striving to obey God and honor him. If you've done that before, but your life does not look like the Christian walk, if you're not following Jesus, if you're not serving him, if you're not obeying him, and you realize this and you want to make things better tonight, if you have any spiritual need that we can help you with, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.